we believe in the one that we cannot see, even though we cannot see him, we realize that he has all authority in Hebrews 2:6, and the whole world is under his feet. Can you imagine how frustrating that is to the devil? That he can't get us to live by sight. That in Galatians 5:6, we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. That we believe that he not only that he is, but that he rewards us for doing so in Hebrews 11:6. Because the one thing the devil could never do is he could never live by faith. He could never believe in God. He could believe in himself. He could believe in power. He could believe in, you know, sheer authority. But he could never believe in God. And when you do it and you don't even see him, what an incredible frustration that is to the devil. When you do that in the humility of just the humility of I'm going to acquiesce to God, the devil has to flee. He can't stand in the presence of that. What an incredible testimony it is against him. This is why it says when we do these things, Paul says in Philippians 1:27 through 29, that you live by the gospel of Christ and you walk by, and he says you go through these trials, but all these trials are there. I'm just paraphrasing, but this is what it says, you know, basically. That these things are happening, which are an evident token of their coming destruction. In other words, it's just a testimony that in the future, their judgment is coming. In the future, the one that they will not bow to, the one they will not acquiesce to, that in the future, the one that we believe in but we can't see, the one that we recognize but we don't have any visible reality to touch or taste to say that this is real, but we believe it, that one is coming and he will judge. That it will happen. That's why, you know, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 5 and on, look, you're going through all these trials and afflictions and these things are, but it just realize this, that you are the means by which you're testifying of the reality of the judgment that will come. And by the way, that's what this harsh reality really does mean. Notice in verse 17, where it's the season for the verdict to begin. And notice this, it comes from the household of God. And what will be the end for those who are disobeying the gospel if it begins from us first? Just remember this. When suffering comes because of the name of Jesus Christ, it comes because of the purposes to test our faith. To see, do I believe in this God that says that he loves me and has given me his spirit and has given me a sense of confidence in my heart, but I can't see it and I can't touch it. Do I truly believe it? And when that judgment comes against us, notice it says it comes from the household of God. Every time a church and people go through any kind of trial or suffering in the name of Jesus Christ, it's because of their relationship to Jesus Christ. Believe me, there's an accusation that's being leveled against them. There's something that's being done to them because of the name of Christ that you can't see, but you have embraced in your heart by faith. You get that, right? In a way, they're judging our faith. They're judging us. And remember what the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 and on. Don't judge. Because if you judge, the judgment that you judge is going to be rendered back to you. What you would want to happen to them will come back on you. When judgment was directed, Peter is saying, and Paul said the same thing in Colossians 1. When judgment is directed towards a believing church or believers or the corporate body or whatever, when these things happen, it's only happening literally for the purpose of trying to demean the faith of the church. And when they do that, what they wished to do to the church is going to be, will come back. They'll be judged with that themselves. That's why it says it's an evident token of their perdition. In other words, they're going to be judged because they didn't believe it. It's a testimony that they don't believe it. When they stand before God, they're going to be, it's going to be brought up all the times that they were given the opportunity in the light of all these people to believe the truth, and they chose to react against it rather than accept it. That's why Jesus said, look, the words that I've spoken, I'm not going to judge you. He says, the very life that I've lived, the words that I've spoken in John 12, 47, 48, that's going to be your judge. That's good. The life that I've lived, the things that I've done, that's going to be your judge. You can spew forth your hatred towards me, but my life will ultimately be your judge. When we live out our faith and these things come at us and we stay true to each other and true to Christ and we live and honor one another and love one another and express faith based on what we know about Christ and the love that he's directed towards each one of us and towards one another, that's judgment coming from the household of God. That's telling them this is real and you need to get right. That there's a reality here that you can't see, but it's true. It's judgment that comes from the house of God. It's not at the house of God. Literally, the preposition is from the house of God. It's them rolling the stone, and they need to realize in Proverbs 26 that that stone is going to roll right back on them. Or them digging a pit, realizing that they themselves are going to fall in it. The fact that we stay true to our testimony. And he goes on to say here that in this kind of harsh reality, he says, look, and if the righteous is saved with difficulty, if we have to go through all these things, he says, where will the godless man and sinner appear? It's kind of like a rhetorical statement. There's no place for them. In other words, the fact that we go through these trials, we stand together, we love one another, we believe in what we can't see, we expect that he's going to reveal himself in truth and reality to us, whether we can see it or not, it's going to be real to us. The fact that we do that is a testimony to the unbelieving world. It's probably the last testimony they will ever have. Kind of like what was said by, you know, in that book by Colson there. The fact that the Jews are still here on this earth is what? It's a testimony that there's a God that's greater than all of the people, all of the nations that have tried to destroy them. The fact that the Christians remain in the midst of all the persecution that went on under communist Russia and China, the fact that they're still there, or even Iran today, or many other places where there's incredible persecution, it's a testimony. It's a testimony of the greatness of the God that is greater than anything that this earth will ever do or be. It stands out, the power of God. And that's what we are when we go through things together. I love the fact that none of the verbs, none of these are singular. They're all plural. They're all doing it together. It's all us interacting together. So let's just close it with this. Therefore, those who are suffering, according to the gnosis, the will of God, because nothing happens to us that God didn't allow. Let's be honest. Now you can say, well, I'm pretty stupid and stupid things happen because I'm stupid. And I'd be the first one to say that about myself. I agree. You know, there's lots of dumb things that I do. But God even planned in my stupidity when I came to him. And he even allows my stupidity to be part of his plan. Think about that. So if you can say, well, I'm a goofball. I messed it all up. God has that in his plan too. And nothing happens that he doesn't know about and doesn't allow. And when it happens, guess what? Let them keep entrusting their souls to a faithful creator. And how do you do that? Just keep doing good. Just keep doing good. Just keep spitting in the face of the devil. Not reacting, not being aggressive. Just do good. Just love somebody, be kind to somebody. Find somebody else that needs to be served in some way. Find somebody that you can lay down your life for and help in some way. Just do good. Because that's how we entrust our lives by faith to God. We just do good. We just do what's good. Amen? And that's how, by the way, we defeat our enemies. They can't get us to react in such a way as to not do good. Because if they could get that, if they could get us to do that, then they've actually, how can I say this? They've actually won the day. Because they've proven that our faith was no greater than the circumstance of our life. Which would be a tragedy. Because it certainly is greater than that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this night, your people, your word, your faithfulness. We're thankful that there is suffering that comes, and it's because it comes with your name. It comes because of our relationship to you. It comes because we've entrusted ourselves to you. And when it does, we're thankful that in the midst of that, you encourage us to take the love that's been given to us and give it to others to do good. And what a slap in the face that is to the devil. Bless each one, Lord. And if there's someone that doesn't know you, we pray that they'll come to know you by just crying out and receiving your free gift of salvation. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Any questions or comments or anything such as that real quick before we disperse?